That was nice, right? Thank you, Alan. That captures a lot of the heart of this community. And I want to say what a privilege it is to be joining with all of you this morning in the house of the Lord as one body. You know, it's just a reminder on days like this when we squeeze all in that we are one big family, one big misfit family, albeit, but one big family the way Woodstock. And so I just want to give a shout out to those of you that invited someone to join with us today in worship. And if you're joining today for the first time, I want you to know that you are welcome here. You're always welcome here to be a part of the move of God that is happening in the heart of Woodstock through the way where we're committed to introducing people to Jesus. How? By sharing in hope, living with purpose for the sake of others. Now, as Russ alluded to, this weekend is one in which we, those that are citizens of this country, are invited to pause and to express our gratitude for those that paid the ultimate sacrifice. Those men and women who laid down their life for the freedoms that we have in this country. And I stand here before you and I confess to you, I did not serve. And so I am deeply indebted, humbled, and extremely grateful for everyone that put on the uniform, and especially those that lost their life for the freedoms we have in this country. And I thank God that I have the privilege of living in this country, of being a part of this country. It truly is a great country, albeit not perfect. Can we get an amen to that? Amen. I mean, even the preamble of the Constitution says, in order to form a more perfect union. Did you notice it didn't say in order to form the perfect union, but a more perfect union. In other words, what was there before wasn't perfect. What we see today is perhaps not perfect, but I pray that America continues to go on toward that perfection that it aspired to, albeit as imperfect as we are. Yeah, it reminds me also of the freedom that we have today to gather. I mean, how many of us thought twice about being able to walk across the street and walk into a building and gather and to lift our arms in praise to God this morning? The freedom to gather is something that maybe somehow we take for granted, because there are millions of Christians, there are millions of Christ followers across the world today that are risking their very lives to do what we simply walked in the door today to do, to enter into the presence of God together. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking about the reality of how somehow maybe I've taken for granted that freedom of expressing my faith. How about you? Let me put it another way. If the freedom to gather, if the freedom to gather in your faith were taken away today to express your faith, would your life or my life look any different? Would we read our Bible any less? Would you witness any less than you're witnessing today? Would you be leveraging your opportunity in the marketplace and in the school place and in the community spaces to share the good news of Jesus Christ than you are today if that freedom was taken away? It's a tremendous freedom we have. Amen? But as you ponder that, I want to talk about a freedom today that no military might, no legislative pen, no executive order, no one, no thing can take away from you. It is a freedom that's found in Christ Jesus and what he did on a cross and through an empty tomb for you and for me and for all of humanity. This is the freedom. This is why we are gathering today in this place, is to worship him and him alone. Amen? And this is the freedom that I want us to reflect on today. And to do that, I want to invite you, if you've got a Bible handy, and if you don't, look underneath your chair in the racks. There's some Bibles handy. If you've got a Bible app, I invite you to open to Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. And we're going to camp out a little bit in chapter 5 today. And I do want to challenge you, if you've got a Bible handy, keep it open. And I want to begin in verse 1, and then I want to move over to verse 13 through the end of the chapter for our reflection today in God's Word. Would you hear God's Word for us today? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Then Paul continues in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Merciful Father, I just thank you. It is a privilege to sit underneath your word. None of us fully grasp the fullness of your word. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in and in spite of us today. God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds would be pleasing to you. God, that we would get a deeper grasp of your word, and not just the written word, but the living word, your son Jesus. We seek him today, and we thank you that he promised where two or more gathered, there he is too. So Jesus, thank you for being here, along with the Father and the Spirit. I ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free, Paul writes. And then he goes on and he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But what is he talking about here? What kind of freedom is he talking about? He's talking about a freedom that's found in Christ, as I alluded to earlier. He's talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the fact that you are blood bought by Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That you are blood bought by God Almighty, who came in the flesh, in Christ Jesus. He came to walk among us, and he led and he shed his blood for you and for me, so that we might have not just simply forgiveness, but freedom from sin. This is the freedom that Paul is expounding upon in this chapter to the church in Galatia. Now, what's interesting, though, is why is he writing about freedom? Well, I think he's worried about their use of freedom, or their misuse of freedom. And as my wife would remind me, I love this. She says, you know, clear is kind. Clear is kind. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if you ever read anything about Paul, Paul is clear. I mean, he doesn't sucker punch. He goes straight for the gut, right? He speaks the truth. If you look back with me, look back at chapter 4, verse 8. Paul writes this. He says, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. And he goes on to say this, I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. Is that not clear? He is fearful that he's wasted time. So he's coming back to this point about freedom. And he's worried that those in Galatia are in somehow forfeiting a freedom that no one nor anything can take from them save themselves rejecting it. The freedom found in Christ Jesus. And the whole of Galatians chapter 5 is really this twin way in which we can forfeit, we can squander the freedom that God has given us through Christ Jesus. The first half is really about rule following. How many of you are rule followers in the house? Anybody rule followers? There's not a whole lot of hands. I'm kind of worried out here. You know, and Chris is like, you are. Yes, I'm a rule follower. You know, the first half of this, what he's talking about, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. But if you look at verse 4 with me, he says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ because you've fallen away from grace. What is he talking about? He's talking about there are those that were coming into the church that came from a Jewish background and said, you need to be circumcised, men. And y'all need to obey the law, the law of God, the Mosaic law. And you know, just like most laws, laws are good, right? Most laws are intended for good. It's not the law that's bad. It's our inherent unwillingness and inability to follow the law. In fact, this is why Christ came, right? All those that were trying to be righteous under the law realized just how unrighteous they are because they could not uphold the law. They became bondage to the law. And Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill what we couldn't fulfill ourselves. But some of these people were falling in the trap that they had to follow these rules. And here's the thing. When you begin to start following the rules and you focus only on the rules, you begin to worship the rules rather than the ruler. And that's exactly what he was worried about. He was worried that they were becoming embondaged to following the rules rather than the ruler, Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price so that we could be free, so we could be free from the yoke of slavery. And so this is what he's talking about in this first half. He's like, listen, you're not under the law. You're under my grace. You're under my love. You're under my sacrifice. Look at verse 6 with me. He says this. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. So the whole first half, he's saying, listen, for those of you that are rule followers, that are trying to follow the rules, that are finding yourself in bondage again because you're trying to measure up to a measuring stick that you'll never measure up to, remember God's grace through Christ Jesus. You're not bound by the law, you're bound by the Spirit. And Christ Jesus gave his all so you might have that freedom. Now the second half of that is for those of us that hear that and say, yippee, free bird! We can do whatever we want, right? We've got this new freedom. We don't have to follow the rules. How many of y'all don't like to follow the rules? All right, I got a little more hands going up, right? So the second half is really about this part as well. Look at what he says again in verse 13. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to what? Indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. But here's the thing, here's the problem with freedom. In our Western mindset, especially in our United States mindset, you know what we think of freedom is? It's personal autonomy. It's you do you, boo. It's you do what makes you feel good. We mix that up. We think we have a right to these freedoms and we demand them because it's what we want about us. It's all about us. And when we make it all about us, we lose sight of him. And we find ourselves indulging in some things that we think we're free to do. They put us in bondage. They're things that dehumanize people. They're the things that destroy relationships. They're the things that put a distance between us and those that we care about most. Look at this list with me. Paul gives a list, and it's not a finite list. It's an open-ended list. But if you look at verse 19, he says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And these are things he's saying don't indulge in. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and then that part, and the like. You see, these are the things, the very things that Jesus died for in order to break us and set us free from. These things that we would naturally want to indulge in, that we think would fill us, and they leave us empty, and so we keep going back like a dog to its vomit, going back to it. And it separates and it destroys the things that matter most to us, our relationships with God and our relationships with one another. He's saying, stop it. This is what Paul's saying, clear as kind. Stop it. Don't keep indulging in these things. Because you know how devastating they are to the thing that matters most to you, your relationships. So don't indulge in these. This is not what freedom is. You see, sometimes our insistence on freedom, the ability to choose for ourselves, the freedom to have it our way, as Burger King says, isn't any freedom at all. You see, true freedom is not found in choosing our way, but in choosing to submit to God's way. Let me say that again. True freedom is not found in choosing our way, but choosing to submit and to follow to God's way. And so I ask you this morning, is there anything that you're indulging in that's leaving you unsatisfied? It's creating separation between you and those that matter most to you. What is it that you're indulging in this morning? It's keeping you from the life that God has for you, that Jesus died for in order for you to live. You know, if I were to get honest with you, you know what I've been indulging in over the last several weeks? Self-pity. Self-pity. Satan has crept in. Satan has crept in and placed in my heart a posture of self-pity. And you know what it's done? It's separated me from the ones that love me the most. Not anything they've done. It's everything that I've begun to believe in myself that's not of God. And I've allowed myself to indulge in that way too much. And it's time for me to step up and out of that. What is it for you? What is it for you that you're indulging in, that Jesus died for, that you need to come and lay at the altar today and say, God, take this from me, because I want the freedom that you have for me. You see, this is where Paul is. He's saying, listen, don't forfeit the freedom you've been given by going back under the law, and don't squander it by doing anything and everything that you think feels good. He's saying both are a way in which you abdicate the freedom that God has for you through Christ Jesus. So rather than abdicate it, embrace it. Embrace this freedom that God has for you. But how do we do that? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I slip into the gutter of following the rules. And sometimes I slip into the gutter of indulging. How do I live in that tension of truth and grace that Jesus came to offer you and me? How do we walk in that freedom that Jesus died for? It means walking in the Spirit. It means embracing that baptism of the Spirit that's offered to all of us. It means allowing the love of God to be poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, as Paul talks about to his church in Rome. This is how we begin to embrace this. Look with me again at Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. He says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." They're in conflict with each other. Can I get an amen to that? Any of y'all ever experienced that? "So that you're not to do whatever you want." See, that's what he's talking about in terms of freedom. That doesn't mean a freedom to do whatever you want. But, you know I love a but in Scripture. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." You see, here's the reality this morning. You're not only blood bought, but you're spirit filled. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're opening to yielding to Jesus being Lord over your life, you're not just blood bought, but you are spirit filled by the Holy Spirit. The very presence of God wants to operate upon your life and in your life and through your life into everything and anything that you touch, including your relationships. This is the freedom that God wants for all of us. When we begin to submit to God, and we begin to open ourselves to a move of the Holy Spirit. Y'all have heard me say it before. Our kids learned this in seminary. There ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. What? Folks, well, maybe we just need a Holy Ghost party today. Maybe we need a Pentecostal moment. Maybe we need to be open again to a move of the Spirit today in our lives. Paul puts it this way to the church in Corinth. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see, without depending on the Holy Spirit, without depending and relying on the Spirit of God, we will fall down into one of those gutters, following the rules, thinking that's the way we earn our way into heaven, which we cannot and will not, or falling into the gutter of indulgences that will not fill us or fulfill us. It's only when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. I love the way that E. Stanley Jones, he was an evangelist in the 1900s, and he said this. He says, "Unless the Holy Spirit fills, the human spirit fails." Unless the Holy Spirit fills, the human spirit fails. You see, a spirit-filled life is one that bears fruit. Listen to this list. Look back again at verse 22. It says, when we yield to Spirit, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now notice, first of all, it's fruit, not fruits. Some of y'all like to say they're fruits. You're like, well, that's a plural list, right? No, the fruit of the Spirit is that every single one of these things is endowed and gifted to every single one of us that is willing to open ourselves to the Spirit. It's not that some have love and some have patience. Now, I know some of you are like, I'm out of patience. Right? But the fruit of the Spirit is born in our hearts. This is what we're intended for. And against these things, there is no law. You see, you cannot legislate this in. You cannot legislate it out. You cannot legislate hate out of a community, out of a heart, can you? Nor can you legislate love in. It's only by the power of God, through the Spirit of God, that you can change a heart, you can change a mind, you can change the trajectory of a person's life, of a spouse's life, of a relationship's life. It's only through the Spirit. You see, we've been given a freedom that, no one can take away. No military might, no legislative pen can take these things from you, can take the fruit of the Spirit from you, save one, ourselves. Ourselves. But you know, the thing, when I look at this chapter, the thing that struck me this whole past week, you know, when you think about our mission statement, it's sharing in hope. Come on, people. For the sake of others. Do you know why we've been given freedom? It's for the sake of others. You see, that's again another Western mindset. We think freedom's for ourselves, this autonomous freedom. That's what gets us in trouble. But look back again to what he says, both in verse 6 and then in 13 and 14. He says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Love's a verb, y'all. It's an action. It involves more than one person. And then you look at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not indulge your freedom, or do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, what? Serve one another humbly. How? In love. You see, you've been given freedom for a purpose beyond yourself. I've been given a freedom for a purpose beyond myself. When I make that freedom all about me, I lose sight of what the gospel is all about. The freedom that Christ came for, the freedom that Christ died for, the freedom that Christ overcame the grave for, was for the sake of you. for the sake of me, for the sake of all humanity. This is what he gave his life for. It was a freedom that no one can take away. Have you tasted that freedom? Are you missing out on that freedom today? If you are, come talk to me. I want to talk to you about the freedom found in Jesus Christ. For those of us that have tasted it and we've lost sight of it, would you be willing to come lay that at the altar today and allow him to fill you anew with his Spirit? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's not forfeit that freedom, church. And let's not squander it either. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace it, because when we do, lives are going to be changed. Marriages are going to be restored. Families are going to be reunited. Communities will be united. Our ability for others to take note of us and see the fruit of the Spirit in us and say, I want what the way has. I want what you have. You will have the privilege of saying, let me tell you about the love of Jesus and the freedom you can have in him. That's true freedom. That's the freedom that we celebrate today. His name is Jesus. Amen? Would you pray with me? Almighty God, I thank you for this freedom that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, sometimes we just don't grasp it all. We grasp the forgiveness, but we lose sight of the freedom. Sometimes we grasp it, but we fall back into the temptation that we got to follow some rules. And yes, those rules are meant for our good. They are good rules. But if we follow them rather than the ruler, we fall short. And God, sometimes we find ourselves indulging in things that are less than fulfilling, harmful, not just to ourselves, but the relationships that matter most to us. God, I ask that you forgive us this morning of the indulgences that we've been partaking in that have been unwholesome because they've not been of you. God, give us the courage to seek your Spirit's power to give over those indulgences and to embrace your love in a way that we know, that we know, that we know that we are loved by you. And it is too good to keep to ourselves. Because our freedom in you is for a purpose beyond ourselves. Oh Lord, just imagine what this community would be like. Woodstock, the city of Woodstock. If we were to embrace our freedom. May it begin today, Lord. I ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen. As the praise team leads us in this song, the altar is open. If there's something you need to lay down, Jesus is here. Let him come take it from you and be filled anew by his Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen.